following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Episode 306 is here. Thank you for streaming, tuning in, downloading, whatever it is, however it is that you get the program. Appreciate you doing it. And apparently, the reach of the program is a little deeper than I would have anticipated. I know there's a lot of listeners. I get this. But it's nice to have a little bit of real engagement. I have to tell you, I got something. I mean, here we are on the cusp of the holiday season. If you recall back in episode 304, a couple of weeks back, we talked about the holidays because, you know, Christmas week is right here upon us, right? It's Wednesday. This, by the way, it being a Sunday, the 22nd of December is the date of production of this episode. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, we did our annual thing about the manufactured outrage that is the war on Christmas, which was for whatever it is. It's fun to talk about because it's ludicrous. It's ridiculous. It's silly. It's dumb. And I made reference to the idea of what the holiday, in my estimation, should be kind of a little bit be more about. And one of the things we talked about was the whole notion of how some people get really worked up when you don't say the words Merry Christmas. They get, if you say Happy Holidays to them, they get a little, they pucker up a bit. They have their problems with this. And okay, fine, whatever. And which led to a, you know, because this show is certainly not scripted, and there's never really any notes that go on, and it's just me rambling for the most part. And what came to mind as I was discussing this whole thing was an idea for a Christmas card I had in my head, a holiday card, I should say. I don't know what you would call it. Xmas card, maybe. I don't know. And the notion is that it would be this beautiful, serene watercolor painting as the main image of it. And at the top, it would say Happy Holidays, and either inside or down at the bottom, it would say Don't Be a Dick. And I tossed it off as what it was, and such as it was, and it was a sweet moment in my head, because the imagery that came with that is it's intense. It really is, because there's so many ways you could go about the distribution of a card like that, because you could either keep it for yourself as sort of a neat little thing to you know, or actually send it to people who you know follow the stringencies of the holidays according to them. Well, nevertheless, my good friend Paul Crum, who runs a local company here in Memphis, actually in Bartlett, it's the Bartlett Art Printing and Graphic Design over on Elmore Park Road. I mean, you know, this isn't a paid thing. I feel the guy needs to have some credit for this. Bartlettart.com, BartlettArt.com. Paul over there, Paul Crum, local musician as well. He shows up to the studio with his son with a bag, and in this he goes, I got something for you. And I wasn't even expecting him to be around, and I had forgotten completely about the card. And he, lo and behold, hands me this bag, and he goes, take a look. And he printed off Don't Be a Dick cards for the holidays. I mean, I was stunned. I was absolutely knocked out of my socks about this whole thing, because it's just a beautiful thing. He heard me talking about it. He grasped the spirit of what this was all about, and he put it into action, and it's an actual physical card. I posted a picture of it in social media. it's on my Twitter page. It's on my Instagram page. It's in my Facebook profile as well. Or it's on my feed rather. And I sent that out, and you know, with the idea that perhaps it's a little late this year, but perhaps next year, come the holiday, as we get close to Thanksgiving, I might get with Paul and just order a buttload of these things, and we make them, and I'll pay him for it, clearly. But we'll see about making them available for you folks if you'd like to have some of these to send to people that might fit the bill, you know, the Don't Be a Dick deal on you know, for the holidays. And, you know, when you sit down with these things, at least it was for me, because I filled a few of them out. I'm going to be hand-delivering a few of them. And as you're doing it, you're thinking, why, you know, you can do a lot with these. You could send them out anonymously to people that you know that are just that way. Or you can, you know, embrace the gag that it is. Write something, you know, nice on the back. I mean, it has an envelope that goes with it so you can mail it. It's nice. It's a postcard-shaped card. And it's a beautiful work of art. It is absolutely, without a doubt, unequivocally stunning. My thanks to Paul for making that little dream happen. It made my week. It made my holidays. It just warmed my heart. It was just a good way to put that. And I appreciate you, Paul, for all your hard work. Unprompted, he just heard me talking about it and said, apparently thought that this was a good idea to put into play, and he did. And I told him, I said, you know, maybe we'll put some together and we'll sell. And he just kind of shrugged his shoulders and like, well, whatever you want to do. And that's probably what we'll do. So there you go. We'll have some holiday cards for you. Hopefully this time next year, or sooner, way sooner, like sometime, you know, after the Halloween extravaganza, we'll make them available throughout the month of November for you kids. So that's that. Right. I just wanted to take a few minutes to acknowledge that because it was such a sweet gesture on Paul's part. But thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Right. That's not what we're going to get into today, though, even though I've already talked about it for about 6 minutes. Nope, we're going to talk about some other stuff, about staying connected, because if you haven't heard already, there's the pervasiveness of the internet is even deeper than we've thought, and it's becoming a little alarming. We'll talk about it as we stay connected. It's up next right here from Radioland. Don't go away.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
Right, so I was going through the usual things as you do. I'm one of these guys, because of the nature of the work that I do, as a social commentator of some sort, a critic perhaps, certainly a cynic, and the use of sarcasm goes very strong and deep in my world, which is fine. And I noticed... because I use the Google products quite a bit, as many of you do. There's a Gmail, of course. There is their Drive, which is fantastic. All of their stuff is really pretty good. And then, you know, because if you go to your homepage, which is Google, right? And in the upper right-hand corner, if you're logged into it, it has your Gmail, your images, and then there's that little box of 9 squares. And when you click on that, that's all of your apps. It's your Google apps. It's your family of products that have available, like the news thing, Maps, YouTube, Gmail, your Drive, calendar, all that stuff. And I looked at it. I said, well, there's something a little different. It seems a little out of order. And I looked, and there's this new thing on there called Duo, D-U-O. And it's sort of a blue teardrop-shaped icon with a camera in it. I thought, well, this is interesting. Let's see what this is about. And when I opened it up, I was greeted with this whole idea that I can now join Google's Duo thing by inputting a phone number, or I can call people who have their phone numbers up and have a chat with them via Google, via any device, via anything like that. Now, look, on the surface, this seems like a pretty good deal. I mean, because after all, staying in connection is a lot of what the internet is for. It started, of course, innocently enough with the bulletin board stuff, the BBS stuff, if you remember, and then along came email shortly thereafter, various messaging things, chat rooms. That was always a big deal. And, of course, now we've advanced up into the real, the lower intestinal tract of social media, such as it is. And I think the timing with this for Google is a little off. But I get why they're doing it. Facebook is under so much scrutiny right now for privacy issues, leaking information. They claim that they have eliminated what 5.5 billion fake news or fake profiles. 5.5 billion, really? There's 7 billion on the planet. I don't know that I buy that. I think there a lot of it is them trying to really, you know, push themselves. Now, look, I'm not a fan of Facebook, and a lot of people know that. And then, yes, I do have a Facebook page, and because I have to, really, because that's where a lot of people are. That's the conundrum that we find ourselves in when we're dealing with social media. If you're not on it, then you're not, you know, able to, especially if you're in this business or this line of work that I'm in, you have to use that to get the word out about certain things. It's the quickest way to the largest number of people, be that as it may. And what they're, you know, what the platform people are doing with it, that's, you know, that's entirely up to them. You don't pay for the service. Therefore, they own you and they own your content or they own whatever you give them. And it's made a lot of people nervous. And in some of the waters that I swim in, there's several people who have said, no, screw this, I'm done with it. And they've deleted Facebook. They have canceled their account. And then come to find out, lo and behold, Facebook still maintains all of your data. And they continue to monitor you, even when you don't have a Facebook account. And this is causing some problems. And there's people that are, frankly, they've had enough. They're a bit pissed off with the absolute derelict of duty to maintain one's privacy by marketing you to whomever. That's how they do their thing. The best gag I've heard so far is, what if Instagram went away and I'll put all those models out of business? And I'm talking about personal models, not like business models. Instagram influencers, the internet famous. If that all thing went away, then there'd be none of that business going on. And such as it is, and it's the 400-pound gorilla in the room. It's something you got to deal with. So in comes Google. Now Google tried to go after Facebook before with that Google Plus, G Plus or whatever it was. I think it was Plus, and it was supposed to be their version of social media, and it just didn't go well. It was awkward. It was strange. I fooled around with it at some point, and it just And Google understood it, so they killed it. And along the way, though, they've always had these other products out there, like Hangout, which is pretty slick, and that was their Skype killer. That was the one, and it's still around, although it's changed. Enter Duo, D-U-O, Google Duo. Which is really nothing more for people to have voice calling with a camera. I've opened it up here in front of me, and I haven't signed. I mean, I'm logged into Google, but I haven't, you know, connected to this Duo thing, and I don't know that I will. First thing that comes up, of course, is an Explorer thing. Welcome to Google Duo. Enjoy high-quality video and voice calling across Android and iOS, smartphones, tablets, computers, and smart displays. Reach your friends and family using their phone numbers. Okay. Now, yes, I know. Everybody has to, if you have a phone, you got to have a phone number, right? Well, it's sitting here asking me to add my phone number. And then I'm looking here, and there's a list of people that... friends of mine, I guess contacts, people I've dealt with via my email, Gmail, and their phone numbers are there. And I don't know that everybody, I mean, most people I'm sure okay having letting that phone number out, but I don't know that this is something that you would be comfortable with. I'm not that thrilled about having that. Right here at the top of the page is allow notifications to receive calls. Not now or allow. No. And then you can search for people. Oh, this is a kind of a level of creepy that for Google, this is out there. I mean, this is really kind of strong. I've always understood that Google paid close attention to the things that you search for because of programmatic ads. Programmatic ads, for those that aren't hip, are ads based on the stuff that you're searching for. And it's inserted in a geolocation type thing. They say, hey, we happen to notice that you just drove by a Walgreens. They happen to have the product that you're looking for. That kind of thing. I don't like that, so I've turned all that off on my devices that I carry with me. Because I don't need that. You know, if there's something that I'm looking for, I'm going to go get it. I don't need to be influenced by, you know, because 9 times out of 10, I'm either looking at something, well, typically, I'm looking at something because I'm interested in the product, not to own it, but just what the story is behind it, you know? And then the other thing, if I'm looking to buy something, I'm going to go straight to the source and go and get it, as many of you do, which is probably going to be Amazon. And the power of Amazon is deep, my friends, it is deep. They own, what, 80% of the internet? And that's not a joke. That's not hyperbole. That's not being glib. They own the servers that provide the internet. I mean, think about that. That's a lot. There's a lot going on. So now that the interconnectivity of individuals has become almost sort of accepted, and we have worried about privacy in the past, especially through social media. I mean, I've told you this is a trick, and you can do this. I recommend you do this. You go back if you're on Twitter or whatever, don't give them the real information about who you are. You know, you don't have to tell them accurately that much of anything. You don't have to give them a proper birth date. You don't have to give them a proper location, for Christ's sakes. If they really want to know, they'll figure it out. You know, I've often joked that I think that Facebook thinks that I am a 25 to 34-year-old a black female. I don't know where they come up with that, but that's just shows you how inaccurate their algorithms can be. And it's because, look, this is how it all works. Social media and the internet and all this stuff runs on algorithms. And algorithms are there to be predictive of the things that people are that are using this stuff, that are using these websites or whatever the case may be. The algorithms are there to gather information. And that's really the bottom line. The whole point of anything existing on the internet is a weird balance between the content that you want as a consumer, whether it be a video on YouTube, a Google product, or a television show you like to watch, which could be anything from what's on Amazon or Netflix or Hulu or that kind of stuff, things that you research. So you're getting this content, and in exchange for this content, and of course the money that you spend to access the internet, which is a whole different animal, But in exchange for the content, you're giving them information. And it's very subtle. And it's not necessarily deep personal information, although they can extrapolate quite a bit. But it's information about who you are as an individual. And it's general demographic stuff. So they might suggest that you might be a male who is 25 to 54 years of age, who has an interest in the following topics, which might be, let's make some stuff up, like fishing, technology. You like books, you like movies, you like classic television, for example, you like animation. That kind of information is the stuff that it gathers. And when it takes this information, it can filter that again and then provide some of that content, right? Some of that content to potential advertisers who want to get their products that match your interests in front of you. It's the old trick, like it was with radio. I mean, you know, as it is now. We gather an audience at Radio Memphis. I'm using that as a good example because I understand it a lot better than anything else. But you know, we gather an audience. And I don't know, it's what, 500,000 or so people a day within a 24-hour period or something like that. And it's North America. And that information can be, that's vital information. And I'll tell you what it is. So you've got 18 to 34 year of age demographic. I've aged out of my own demo. 18 to 34 years of age, predominantly male by about 60 to 65%, right? And this is all North American listeners. And what I mean by that is the United States and Canada. We haven't even gotten into, you know, dealing with Europe yet because, quite frankly, the businesses that want to advertise are in the United States. Not too many people, they're not interested so much in what the Europeans are. Sorry, Europe, but that's just the fact of the matter. And it's the same thing with the European businesses. Why advertise in the United States unless it's a global product? And be that as it may, there's a lot of global products that are being advertised in Europe from the United States, but it's not a huge market. I digress. So now having this information, and we present this to various clients and individuals that would like to speak to these people, we sell it in 30 or 60 second increments, as you do in our time. There's only so many minutes in a day. We allow some of that to be sold as some form of advertisement. And when this is the case, some of these advertising agencies get really greedy. And this happened where a company came to us and said that they wanted to input tracking software within our systems, not just our website. They wanted to put it in with our automation system that controls the actual broadcast. And they wanted bounce back information as to who all was listening where and all that demographic stuff. But they weren't going to give that to us. They were going to take it for themselves. And in exchange, they were going to fill our advertising time with money that we could spend. But the problem then became we didn't have any control as to what ads were going to run at that time, because they said that it was programmatic and that it was location based. So they would say, as an example, there's somebody, say, in the Seattle Tacoma area up in the Pacific Northwest that is listening, and they found out through their information that they are shoppers of Home Depot, or they've liked Home Depot through Facebook or whatever the case may be. So they start serving Home Depot ads to that person. Whereas at the exact second that's going on, there may be a listener down in Florida who is into fishing or outdoor activities. So they shoot them at the exact same second, mind you, they shoot them an ad for Bass Pro. And they can do this over a broad range of area, right? Geographically speaking. And they can do this simultaneously. So depending on where you are is the ad that you're going to get. And it's spooky shit, really. And I turned these people down because it just didn't seem right. And it was actually a pretty good move, because later I found out that they had gotten into some hot water for overinflating certain numbers and undervaluing other numbers and all this other stuff. But at any rate, nevertheless, the greed in this was really super strong. And it was, and just, I don't know, if something doesn't feel right, it probably isn't. And that was a smart move on my part. Having said all of this, I wouldn't know what all was running at the exact same time until I got the reports later. But it just didn't seem right. I didn't like this. And I know television does this to a certain extent, and even the internet, of course, because you get the pop-up ads, and you see, you know, like if you're watching YouTube videos, you're getting ads based on your location. Well, there's so many ways around that. So many people now are using VPNs, the virtual private network, which hides your location. You can say you're from Albania. You can say you're from Ecuador. You can say you're from Topeka, Kansas. It doesn't really matter. Now all of that stuff gets completely defeated and thrown out the window. And that's been my argument about advertising in the internet, is that they put so many eggs in one basket through geolocation, through programmatic data analysis and things like this, that they're using this to their own advantage and don't really give a shit what the consumer thinks. And I know there's some advertisers out there that may be listening to this and go, no, Rick, you got it all wrong. I hazard to say that I think you fellas have it all wrong. It goes back to shotgunning advertisement and being a little bit more generic with it. It's a formula that has worked for so many decades that doesn't need to be changed. Because I still get ads for products that I've researched in the past and may have already purchased. It's a waste. Now, having said all of that, let's get back to Google Duo, who now wants me to give them my phone number. I mean, they're all the almighty Google. It seems to me I'm just thinking out loud here, but it seems to me they already have it. They've got a number. I have a Google number that is used as the business office for Radio Memphis. We set it up through, it's an actual legit 901-352-0107 number that goes specifically to Pirate Radio Studios. And hence, that's where it's at. If you wanted to call to schedule something, or you needed to talk to somebody at the radio station, there is that number. And we've spread that like the syphilis all over the internet. So Google knows that I've got that number because I got it from them. But they're sitting there asking me for my phone number. You ain't getting my number. Because look at the influx of all of the spam robocalls we all got in 2019. It was an epidemic, and it was a massive deal. And you know where that came from, don't you? You know where those numbers came from, as I point my fat finger to my Facebook tab. That's where a lot of that came from, because numbers did get put up there. I wound up changing the number that Facebook had for me, but it was far too late, because it's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous, because they were just so, Zuckerberg and company got so willy-nilly with all of this stuff, and they were like, well, we got to have a phone number to verify the account. Okay, I get that. And they said that they weren't going to do anything with it, which was That was a lie. That was complete and utter horseshit, is really all that turned out to be, because that's just one more piece of information. That is a direct that's a big deal. It's a direct contact between an advertiser and a targeted person. So then all of a sudden the text messages and the phone calls, and thankfully all of that stopped for me. Thank Christ. But now here's Google that wants to do the same thing. Now, I just said at the beginning of this episode that I kind of trust Google. I'm okay with it, even though I know what they know about me, and there's no getting away. There's no getting around that. I mean, Google touches everybody so deeply. But I still keep it on a leash. As much as I like the Google products, I'm not putting an Alexa in this house or whatever the Google Echo, it's not Siri, whatever they have. I can't keep up with them. And they're trying to give them away. They're trying to give these devices away. I don't want this thing in my house. Am I being overreactive? Probably. Is there anything to worry about? Not really. Because the argument has always been, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, what is there to worry about? Well, that's not the point. The point is, you know, I don't want to be tracked that deeply. Because the natural progression of things is going to go from, and this is just how it's going to work. It's going to go from this thing listening to conversations that you may or may not be having in your kitchen. And if it's got a camera on you, you don't know if that camera's watching what you're doing. And it could be something as innocuous as it determining, the fact that you like to eat bananas. And you're standing in the kitchen eating a banana. And next thing you know, you're starting to get ads for grocery stores and deals on fruit. I mean, it's a bit creepy. It's a bit much. You know, how did we become the surveillance state that we are? It was simple. We gave away all of this fun technology to you people to have fun with, and you willingly pulled it into your own homes. There's people now that have their own self-monitored home security systems that have cameras in every room in their home. And I don't like that either. not a fan, because it's imminently hackable. You've seen the whole thing with Ring doorbells. There's another Google product, which I won't get because it's got problems. Ring has problems. They're getting hacked. There are law enforcement agencies that are using it as part of their own built-in surveillance network. I know it sounds like I'm being a conspiracy theorist here, but there's something legit to all of this. And it's not being fanciful. This has nothing to do with like flat earth shit or any of that other crap. Chemtrails, bro. It's just that it doesn't take much of a leap of thought to go from the fact that I'm going to put in a cool product in my home that allows me, it gives me something, right? It gives me information. It gives me the ability to control the bathroom light or the thermostat in the house, or it gives me the ability to do all or provide some type of security in my own home in exchange for the information that it's gathering off of me and my family to whatever means they have for theirs. Which also opens up a door. It's the third door, the third party. It's what they sell that information for and to whom. And let's not forget, it's that door that gets hacked time and again. And there's some creepy stuff, man. Somebody had a home security system that they built themselves, I guess. And they had it, I guess, through Ring or somebody similar to that. And there was a hacker that was watching people in their homes. And it goes so much further than that. I mean, I know it seems very simple, but it goes much further. You got to encrypt your stuff. People aren't that smart. And here was this little four-year-old girl in her bedroom playing with her toys while her mother's at home, clearly. And somebody hacks that camera, which has a microphone on it, and it has obviously the camera, and it has a speaker on it. It's like an intercom system. And here's some creepy hump, God knows where he is, sitting at his laptop, covered in mayonnaise, and he's having a conversation with a complete stranger, a little four-year-old girl. Well, this little girl's mother hears all this going on, so she's going, what the hell is all this going on? What's going on? What are you talking to? Yeah. I'd have burned the house down after all of that. That's just wrong. It's creepy. But that's the sort of thing that's the risk that you take, clearly. If you're going to allow your stuff to go out there, if you're going to allow cameras and data and that information to be placed in a super accessible area, then that creates those issues. And I don't think the risk is worth it, personally. I don't. Like many people, I take my privacy pretty seriously. But I'm not giving Google my number to get on Google Duo. I'm just not going to do it. It just doesn't... Skype, what a mess that was. Skype was a thing. I know it's still a thing, but Skype is over there sitting on the shelf, kind of, because it's a pain in the butt to use. Microsoft got it and really messed it all up. But it didn't involve too much personal information, certainly not even a real phone number. Maybe an email address. But email is great because email is like the perfect filter. You can choose to mark something off as spam and never hear from that person ever again. You can block an email. You can block a text message. And you can block phone calls. But I don't know, man. There's just too much here that points to us being way too connected. And there are certain benefits. There's a lot of good benefits to what we've got here. This is some great technology. But if it's a lesson that we certainly haven't learned too terribly well, is that there are nefarious individuals out there who would love, absolutely love, to get a hold of this data. Content is king, Bill Gates once said. And he's right. It's about content. But the real gold in the internet is information. And that's all it boils down to. And it's not your content. Your content drives them in. It's who comes in and who you are and where you are and what you want and what you want to do. And that information is valuable. It's worth trillions of dollars across the platform. That's the way it is. That's the world that we live in. It didn't start out that way. It wasn't by design. You know that. It didn't come to us until later that it was like, oh, wait a minute. Somebody sat there and went, wait a minute, we got all this information. This has got to be worth something to somebody. We could sell this to advertisers and look at the money we would just pour into our pockets. And that's what they did. And we've come to that point now where a lot of people, including me, have become a little savvy. I'll give you some of this because there's no way around it. But you're not getting all of it. Here's an interesting thing. Not to sound like the scary old man, but I don't use Bluetooth. And I'll tell you why. When you go to certain department stores or a lot of stores, really, a lot of retail places, they have Bluetooth monitoring systems in, like, say, like a, you go to like a Target or a Walmart. Which, by the way, Walmart's using facial recognition technology, by the way. That's a fact. When you go, say you go to a Target and you're wandering through. Now, Target's a good example. Same as Walmart, I suppose. But, you know, they have a department that is, there's the shoes, there's the men's clothes, there's the girls' pants, there's the eggs, there's the beer, there's all sorts of things that you can get in a Target. But as you walk through, they have these little devices that pick up. They don't have much of a range on them because it's Bluetooth. It's, what, about 40 feet, if that. It detects that your Bluetooth is on. Now it's got access into your phone, and it sees you standing there, or it senses you, is more appropriate. It senses you standing there next to the shaving cream, and it's going to automatically send you a pop-up message. We notice that you're standing here looking at the shaving cream. Might we warn you that such and such deal is on sale for blah, 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 blah. Well... That would bother me. I know some younger folks would be like, you get used to it. No, you don't. You don't get used to this sort of thing. Why would you? Why would you allow this? Turn that motherfucker off. You don't need to know. I go to the store to get very specific items. I am not there to be manipulated. I'm not there to be sold. I know what I want, or else I wouldn't be in there. If I'm looking for something that it doesn't really matter the brand name, I'm just looking for something I know that is in that store, I'm going to go there and look at it, and I'm going to shop and compare and do the way that I've always done it. It was like that whole thing with the barcode scanners. Remember that? Where people would stand in, say, like a Best Buy, and they'd barcode scan something on their phone and find it on sale for a cheaper price somewhere else. and then Best Buy was saying like, hey, no, we'll match or beat that price or 10%, you know, or something to that effect. Yeah, they had to put a handle on that pretty quickly. And that was good for business because it did make a lot of pricing more competitive. And that's fine. That's all well and good. But that put the power back into the consumer. Now it's back in the part of the vendor. And that's the part that really kind of bothers me. And it should bother you too. Just, you know, something to think about. Happy holidays. Didn't mean to scare the crap out of you. But that's what's going on, you know? Just be mindful of what's going on. You want to stay in touch? You know where to find me. Those of you that don't know where to find me, there's probably a reason for that, too.
Memphis' number one alternative smoke shop is your number one stop for all your CBD products, and now is your stop for Kratom. Get into the store and see what Kratom can do for you. Plus, Wizards has fall deals throughout the entire store. Woodwick candles, watches from Swell, tarot cards, figurines, and so much more. Take a look and order online at their new website, wizardsmemphis.com. 1999 Madison Avenue in Midtown, open 10 to 10 every day. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to buy smoking-related products.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Here we were cutting the cable. I know, I'm gonna beat this to death because it's we cut the cable. We said no. We're not paying blank cable service provider $200 a month or $150 a month or whatever the fuck it was to get these channels that we'd only watch certain ones. And we all wanted a la carte. And we got a la carte thanks to streaming. We got into the thing, you know. We got into, you know, the Hulu, the Netflix, and all of that fun stuff. And now everybody's packaging their shit back up again, and they're turning it back to us. And I got to looking at it, I was like, well, wait a minute. All these things that are offering all these channels to us for, you know, now it's a little more than what cable was. I'm like, wait, what the fuck is going on here? Well, look at the cable companies are lowering their rates all of a sudden because they want TV people back. I don't know, man. I in a way, I feel like I'm missing out, but in reality, nope, I ain't missing shit.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
All right, there you go. That's what's coming up next time on the program as we cruise through it here on this Sunday, the 22nd of December. The next time you hear from this program will be after the Christmas break and before the New Year's deal. And be that as it may, got some stuff that we're going to tell you about for New Year's a little bit later on as far as what's going on at Radio Memphis. Tonight, of course, the Booze and Blues is on the radio. If you happen to catch this program before 8 p.m. Central Time, we'll be doing our thing as we do every week. And tonight is kind of different because it's the holiday week. We actually have an open hole in our schedule, which is fine because that's when it allows us to get into the library and play a little bit of the tunes because we don't really do a whole heck of a lot of that because there's usually a live act in the studio. So tonight it's just going to be whatever happens, whoever might going to be there. There might be the usual suspects. There may not be. Who knows what's going to happen? It's going to be a potluck thing, if you will. It's the potluck Christmas party at the Booze and Blues tonight, 8 p.m. Central at radio-memphis.com on any device. Well, there's a promo for you. Yeah. Before I get out of here, I guess an unpopular thought that's actually turned into be rather popular. The new Star Wars film, have not seen it. I do know some of the spoilers. I'm not going to throw them out here because I know there's a lot of you that want to go see the film, and I'm not that kind of guy. If you want to go see it, go see it by all means. I hope you enjoy it. I hear it's not that good. And the critics kind of ripped it a new one. It's just kind of, it falls flat from it. There's a lot of plot holes. There's some people involved with the production that said it wasn't that good. It was J.J. Abrams at his typical self, such as it was, you know, whatever. There's an interesting fact about this, and this is true, and I'll leave it be. No one hates the Star Wars sequels than Star Wars fans. And that's, I think there's a lot of truth to that. If you like to go have fun and enjoy the popcorn, the idea of that, you know, it's just an escape from reality for a while, go for it. Have fun. Enjoy it. Now, the other film I wanted to talk about real quick, the film Cats. Andrew Lloyd Webber's big Broadway stage extravaganza, of which I saw when it came out, believe it or not, back in the 80s. And I saw it in London. Fantastic deal, I guess, you know, got a lot of people worked up, you know, the middle-aged housewives stuff. They loved it, man. They were the cat ladies, and that's what it was. And somebody got the wild idea to spend $300 million. Oh, my God, $300 million to do a film version of Cats, and it had an all-star cast. And apparently it is so bad, it is such a bomb, that the studio told the theaters, hold up, yo, we're going to be sending you an enhanced version of the film with better visual effects. Really? Like, that's going to save it? Oh my God. They're trying to rescue it. And I don't know. You're trying to save a cat. Oh, Lord of mercy. Whatever the case may be, it's my thought on that subject. I got to go. Y'all be sweet. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. And for God's sake, stop shooting each other. And one more thing, too. Happy holidays. And don't be a dick. I'm Rick Cheddar. And this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.